Certainly good to see everyone gathered here this morning. I much appreciate the comments that Brother Jimmy made, and it makes me wish that my sermon was going a little bit different direction than the one I've got planned for this morning. Because if we'd have planned it, I couldn't have come up with a better introduction into a lesson about why Jesus died on the cross than what he just gave us. We need to consider that message that is there, and certainly we talked about some of these things in Bible class, but I want to look at the phrase, follow in his steps. Because while certainly it is important for us to recognize the suffering that he endured for us and the reasons for that, and we've had lessons that deal with those things in the past few weeks, and we will have lessons that deal with those things again. And I encourage you to consider strongly the words Brother Jimmy spoke to us just a moment or two ago. In regards to that, it's important for us to keep that in mind. But we also need to recognize that we're to follow his example in all things. In fact, every situation we find ourselves in, we ought to consider, what does the example of Christ teach about how I ought to conduct myself? How I ought to live? And I'm confident that at some point or another in our lives, probably about 20 years ago, everybody has seen the WWJD that was listed as our title of our sermon in the announcements this morning. What would Jesus do? And while the concept in principle is certainly one that we should consider as Christians, we need to think about how Jesus would live. I think it needs to go beyond some of the things that are taught. Usually when you hear that phrase, what would Jesus do? The answer is something about, oh, he would show compassion. He would show humility. He would show love, or he would pray maybe even. Those are the sort of things that are the response when somebody asks, what would Jesus do? In whatever situation, that seems to be what everybody focuses on when they think about Jesus and how he conducted himself here upon the face of the earth. But there's more about what Jesus did. There's more about his example that we need to emulate than just those nice things. I don't know about you, but every time I've heard somebody make reference to that in regards to what would Jesus do in this situation, it always turns out to something nice. Something that would make you feel better. Something that would enhance your situation or the situation of the people that you're talking about. And certainly, compassion and humility and love and all of those things that we see in Christ need to be emulated. And we can see them in no greater means of example than in how those things were expressed in regards to us in his suffering on the cross. For, as Brother Jimmy said, our benefit, so our sins could be forgiven and we could have a right relationship with God. But there's other things we need to consider about the example of Christ in our life. One of the first things that we might consider when we think about what it is that Jesus would do is, no matter what the situation was, Jesus would do what is right. And we probably won't spend a whole lot of time talking about this because I walked all over this part of my sermon in Bible class this morning. In regards to how we conduct ourselves toward our government, toward our neighbors, toward our boss, toward our school, toward our family, we need to follow the example of Jesus and do what is right. In John chapter 8 and verse 29, and he who sent me is with me, he has not left me alone, for always I always do the things that are pleasing to him. Sometimes those things weren't so make me happy for Jesus, as far as earthly considerations are concerned. He had no place to lay his head. He went about as a wanderer. Because his purpose here on earth was to proclaim the gospel, proclaim the message that the kingdom is coming, more particularly what he did, as we've seen in our studies of Christ, as we've looked at the gospel on Wednesday evening. He suffered persecution. There were several times where, as we've studied in our Bible class before, he was in a situation where the people that he was speaking to and the people that he'd been teaching were ready to make him a king. Oh, what better praise and honor could that be? And he got away. Because that wasn't what was right. He wasn't to have an earthly kingdom. Other times that he was in a situation where he was abused, persecuted, oppressed. We've seen these things as we've gone through the life of Christ. The discussions that he got into with the leaders of the Jews and the problems that that caused with those leaders and all the difficulties that he engaged in, Jesus did what was right. No matter what the consequences were for himself. He did what the Word of God says he ought to do. We need to do that. We need to do what is right. It's not that we can just do whatever we want or do what makes us feel good. We have to do what God has said for us to do in every situation. We need to do what's right. Jesus would do what is right. Jesus would resist sin. In fact, Jesus would resist the temptation to sin. Verse 22, he committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. That's one of those passages that I found interesting, that he doesn't just say he committed no sin, but he also added he didn't tell any lies. Wonder why. Well, that's what the quote says. That's why it's there in Peter. But sometimes we think of untruths as not necessarily sin. They're niceties. Sometimes we tell them to keep from offending somebody or keep from causing a problem. And so we don't tell the whole truth. Or sometimes we'll even tell things that are lies. Jesus did no sin. He even resisted the temptation to sin. You know, we are tempted to sin on a regular basis. The world is full of those things that would encourage us to do that which is wrong. That's just what the world is. But if we turn over, we'll just turn over to Matthew and read the example of Jesus as he was tempted by Satan in Matthew chapter 4. We're not going to read that whole passage there, but I encourage you to take the time to read it for yourself. I want you to take note that Jesus even resisted the temptation set before him. Satan said, "Look out over all these kingdoms." And Jesus responded with Scripture. Satan said, "Satisfy your hunger." Jesus responded with Scripture. He didn't look and say, "That'd be nice. I've been hungry for a while." As soon as Jesus saw something that was leading toward sin, he resisted, seems to be the indication there. Even throughout the various examples we've seen in his life, once again in our Wednesday night Bible classes, we've looked at the life of Christ. Time and time again, an opportunity was set before him that could have tempted him to do wrong, and he got away from that temptation. Said time when he ran away, well, not ran away, but he got away when they wanted to make him a physical king. He didn't even stay long enough to be tempted by that. He got away from it. What about us? What about us? Do we resist even the temptation to sin? Do we keep ourselves away from those things that might cause us to do something that's wrong? Or do we find ourselves from time to time, maybe more often than we'd like to admit,
walking just as close to that borderline of righteousness and sinfulness as we can possibly get.
I've heard lessons on 1 John chapter 1 where John talks about our need to walk in the light as he is in the light and to stay away from darkness. And in teaching those lessons or hearing those lessons, sometimes I've heard those that talk about walking in and out of darkness. Like, it's okay to have one step over and one foot over the darkness every now and then, as long as you make sure you keep one foot in the light all the time. That's not the example of Jesus. He walked right up in the middle of light. He stayed away from the darkness. What would Jesus do? He would stay in the light. He would avoid the darkness. He kept himself filled with the Word of God so that he was not in darkness. He resisted sin. He resisted temptation because he kept himself focused on that which was the will of God, no matter what was going on around. If we're going to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, we're going to have to resist temptation and sin. We're going to have to keep ourselves as far away from that boundary of darkness as we can, lest we step off into it in some misstep that we might take. Jesus would resist sin and temptation. Jesus would always speak the truth. And by this, I'm not just talking about he wouldn't tell any lies. I think that would be included in this. In fact, that's kind of included in the do what is right. This, I'm talking about he always spoke the truth. Not just he always spoke truth, he always spoke the truth. Everything Jesus said, all of the teaching that he did, was according to the will of the Father. It was God's word. That's why he could say, "I am the truth and the life," in John chapter 14 and verse 6. That's why he could respond in John chapter 8 and verse 40, "As it is, you're seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth which I heard from God." Jesus spoke the truth. Always. Do we speak the truth? Always. When we talk to others about their problems and their difficulties, when we talk to others about their needs, their cares, their concerns, do we speak to them from the Word of God? Or do we speak to them from our ideas or the ideas and teachings of men? Oh, there's some good ideas out there. There's lots of good advice. There's lots of men that have said some good and wonderful things. But since we're supposed to be walking in the footsteps of Jesus and following his example, shouldn't we be looking to him and God instead of men? Shouldn't our focus be teaching the Word of God? Jesus spoke the truth. Yes, that means he didn't tell any lies. Not any white ones or not any gray ones or any color lies. He didn't tell any lies. He spoke the truth. But I think it's more important. Well, maybe not more important. It's just as important when we start talking about how I want to do what Jesus would do in this situation, that we recognize Jesus spoke the Word of God in everything. Tempted by Satan, instructing his disciples, rebuking the leaders of the Jews, speaking to a Samaritan woman at the well. All of those things. Jesus spoke God's word. Related to this, Jesus would expose error. He would expose the doctrines of men. In fact, he did expose the doctrines of men. He exposed the leaders of his own people. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9, "In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." He stood up and said, "You're wrong." The things that we just got through studying in our Wednesday night class from Matthew chapter 23. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Time and time again, he rebuked them for following their own ways rather than the teachings of God. Do we do the same? Or do we make excuses for the doctrines of men sometimes? Make allowances? Or maybe even teach them more than we teach the Word of God? Do you know what the social gospel is? It's doctrines of men. This idea that God came here and Jesus died on the cross of Calvary so I can live a good life here on earth and I can have the things that I want here. I'll be blessed with all kinds of blessings and God's going to watch over and He's got a plan for me and I can follow that as long as I do what He says pretty much. He's going to make sure that everything's hunky-dory and fine in my life. That's not the teaching of God. As Peter tells us, Jesus died on the cross not so that we can have a good life here, but so we can get rid of the sin that's in our life so we can be with God for eternity. The teachings of God, while there may be some benefit in our lives here on earth, are not about having a good life here on earth. They're about serving God so I can get to heaven. Jesus rebuked the doctrines of men. Remember when he rebuked the leaders of the Jews, the Pharisees, and various ones because they said, "Hey, if I've taken my money and given it and said this belongs to the temple, even though that's what I could have used to serve you, Mom and Dad, you can't say anything to me about it because I gave it to God." Jesus said that violates God's law. Jesus said you're supposed to take care of your parents. That's what the law said. It's one of those Ten Commandment things that they were supposed to be following. Jesus rebuked the doctrines of men. He openly exposed those who promoted false doctrines. In a very public manner, he said, "Watch out. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees," we read time and time again. Eight times. That's eight, yeah. In the Matthew chapter 23. Denouncing their practices, their doctrines, warning people publicly, such as we read in Luke chapter 20, a companion passage to that, verse 46 through 47. Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and love respectful greetings in the marketplaces, in chief seats in the synagogues, and places of honor at banquets, who devour widows' houses and for appearance sake offer long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation. Watch out for these people, he said. Do we publicly rebuke false teachers? Do we speak out against the doctrines of men? Jesus did. When you're in a situation where there's somebody that is teaching something that's not in accordance with the will of God, are you going to think like you would when everything's going bad and such? What would Jesus do in this situation? I can tell you what he would do. He would rebuke their error. He would expose their error by speaking the truth. Do we do that? Do we follow in his steps? Now, Jesus didn't go about knocking on people's doors and saying, hey, I heard you was teaching something false and I'm going to call you out on it in the middle of the town square. But when he had opportunity to speak against those false teachings, he did. He stood up for the truth, no matter who was offended. No matter who he called out as false. Much of his time was spent calling out the leaders of the Jews as false teachers, because they were infusing the teachings of Moses that were given by God with their own ideas, their own practices and teachings. And you know what? They didn't like him. They made his life difficult. There were multiple times when he spoke out against these Jewish leaders when, in order to keep from suffering the consequences at that particular time, and it wasn't yet his time, he left and went somewhere else. And then we have that final week in Jerusalem where he just kept coming back. And kept standing and kept teaching against, kept exposing the false doctrines of the leaders of the Jews and of the Jews themselves in many instances, and giving them warnings about the need to come to the will of God. And as a result, he lost his life. So that passage there in 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us that Jesus died on the cross for a purpose, so that our sins could be forgiven. He did that for us. But let's not forget that that death on the cross came about also because he stood against the false teaching of the Jews. And they killed him for it. He exposed false doctrine and false teachers. He warned his disciples. He warned the crowds. Don't follow these men, because they will leave you in a position where God will have nothing to do with you. You see, Jesus would not compromise the truth. He wouldn't make any agreements. You believe this way and I'll believe this way and we can still get along and be good friends and worship and talk together about it. No. Jesus said, every plant that my Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They're blind guides of the blind. If a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit. The destructive heresies, the false teachings, the false doctrines, the health and wealth gospel will lead people away from serving God. convincing people that they ought to serve Christ because it's going to make their life better is going to lead to disappointment. Some have developed the idea that Jesus was interested in some kind of compromise, but they can only have that idea because they haven't read the Scriptures. Jesus did not compromise. There is nothing in the example of Jesus Christ as we find it in the pages of Scripture that would say, hey, you're a great guy and I can get along and engage with you even though I know you're telling people things that aren't true. He didn't compromise. There's not an instance where we see him looking at the scribes or the Pharisees and saying, you know, God said this, but that idea you've got about, you know, making sure you got the longest fringes and the biggest phylacteries, that's not what he said. He rebuked them because they were putting on a show of righteousness. Wouldn't compromise. He rebuked them because their doctrines were things that went against the will of God. And we need to do the same. We cannot endorse those who are teaching soul-condemning error. Every now and then, I'll find some article or some writing by some guy, and I, hey, this sounds great. That's right down the line. It's exactly what the Scripture has to say. And I go off and I go looking at some of the other stuff he's written, and he's off in left field somewhere. But, you know, I'm going to have a problem promoting what this guy wrote here because of what he wrote over there. What he wrote here may be true and upright and in complete accordance with the will of God. But if I tell somebody to go read what this guy has to say about this, and they start looking around and reading some of the other stuff he's had, they may get the wrong idea. I've seen preacher after preacher promote some article online, and in their promotion of that article said, I agree with what he says here, but don't listen to anything else he has to say. Sometimes. He's got some good ideas and he teaches what the Scripture does right here. But don't listen to him on this topic. Because, we need to be careful of our relationships and our fellowshipping. Because we can never compromise truth. We have to follow Jesus. And we need to recognize that there is a need for us to follow Jesus in everything. Some of the things we talked about in Bible class this morning are what might be referred to as hard sayings. Because they teach us that we have to put up with some things that we wouldn't like to put up with because of the relationship that we're in and the submissive nature we ought to have toward authorities. But we have to follow Jesus in that example too. We have to follow Jesus in His example of rebuking error and sin. We have to follow Jesus in His example of resisting not just sin itself, but even keeping Himself away from the temptation of sin. He said, get thee behind me, Satan, to Peter. Because what Peter was saying could have been a temptation. That's one of the reasons for it. He basically told Satan to get lost in Matthew chapter 4. Don't bother me. Stay away from me. We need to resist even the temptations. We We need to do what's right no matter what. We need to always do what Jesus would do in every aspect of life. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, we read, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." In the midst of talking about all of those examples of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 and throughout the Old Testament, as Brother John's shown us, is showing us, I should say. He's still working on it. In the midst of all those examples, the Hebrew writer says, look to Christ and follow Him. And you notice that even in this instance, he uses the example of Christ on the cross, the suffering, the pain, the sacrifice that he endured for us, as the thing to draw us to Christ, what he did for us. All too often, we react to this idea of I want to be like Jesus by looking at what Jesus did in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I wanted to pull you under my wings as a hen would pull her chicks. And we forget or we ignore what Jesus did in the first 36 verses of that chapter. Rebuking. Standing against. Calling out. Those are just as much what Jesus did as His compassion and His love. And to pull a phrase from another teaching of Jesus in that particular chapter, these are the things we ought to do without leaving off the others. We've got to follow Jesus in everything. Not just in the nice and friendly, compassionate and helpful things that we see, but even in the things that would cause people to look and say, that's not nice guy. That guy doesn't agree with me. I don't think I want to listen to that guy. Because that's what Jesus did. That's the step we have to walk in. We need to be careful that we are walking in His steps. Because a sacrifice that He made on our behalf, that death that He died on the cross of Calvary to pay the price for our sins, and His resurrection put Him in all authority. And He said, obey my word. If you continue in my word, you are my son. And through the mouth of the Apostle Peter, he said, if you believe, for those Jews asked Peter and the Apostle, what shall we do to believe? You should repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you want to receive it. Arise now, while it tarries now. Arise and be baptized, and not so far. The Ethiopian eunuch said, what can I do? What keeps me from being baptized? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. And they went down into the water and was being filled, and he was baptized, washing his sins away. With the very blood of Jesus shed on the cross of God. I need to give him a woman in the way of rejoicing after baptism. Philip was caught up and
and when I'm doing the work that the Spirit has instructed me to do. Time and time again, the Apostle Peter in his epistle, especially the second epistle, impresses upon us the need to remember the teachings of Christ even as Christians and to continue to faithfully follow those things. If you look at your life this morning and find you are wondering, is it out of saving grace of God because you've not taken advantage of the sacrifice of the Savior? You believe that Jesus is the Christ? Are you willing to give in your life and follow His steps for the remainder of your days? Then you can have hold of eternity with Christ and with God and with all the saints. Because you too can repent, turn to God, confess your belief in the Savior, and be buried in baptism, having your sins washed away by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. If you've done that in the past, and you recognize this morning that you've strayed from that straight and narrow path. You've stepped away from the footsteps of Jesus, walking in darkness. Maybe you just took a misstep over in darkness. John tells us in the latter part of that chapter that we will confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We can be right and whole for the disciples again. If you look this morning and find that you're suffering in the face of it, don't be like Agrippa and be almost persuaded. Be fully persuaded by the will of God to live your life by that will. We can assist some of that your desire to know, but we stand in sanctity.